Welcome to Brothers in the Foyer, a podcast where we create a space of unity, understanding, and inspiration. Join us as we share stories of faith, representation, and the transformative power of Christ in our lives. We love diving into topics that uplift and strengthen faith. I'm here with my brother, Will. And today we're here with another brother, Tyreek Johnson. Growing up in Mississippi, deep in the heart of the Bible Belt, his journey took a surprising turn in attending BYU and coming out here to Utah, where he found himself immersed in a culture very different from the one he grew up in. In this episode, Tyreek opens up about his journey, his conversion to his faith, and the challenges and growth that came from embracing a new environment and the impact of the gospel on his life. Also, we want to give a huge shout out to Serve Clothing. Go to serveclothing.com. What Will got? You see that? Yep. Serve Clothing. It's like Lululemon and Nike Dry Fit had a baby. It's clean. It's sleek. They have dress shirts as well as dress shirts with the vents. So if you got a big back or if you're on your mission, either way, they work really well. Use our code FOYERFAM for a discount in the checkout. All right. So thanks for joining, y'all. Let's get into it. Where are you from and what got you out here in Utah, bro?
From Mississippi. The mountains. Mountains brought me out here. Mountains and basketball.
Basketball, okay.
But, can't forget about Jesus Christ, you know.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Everything happens for a reason.
Right. So, bro, you lived up Mississippi. Like, what was that transition? What got you to, like, all right, let me see what's going on in Utah? Like, that's a whole different just experience being out down south in the Mississippi and then you coming up here in the Rockies.
Yeah.
Like, what bro, explain what happened. How did that tell us that process, how that came to be?
It happened. It was crazy. So most people don't know. I was born in Chicago.
Okay.
Spent half of my life in Chicago, then the rest of it up till now in Mississippi. So the transition was crazy. So we don't know BYU like that in the South. Yeah. I will say that.
Yeah.
So, like, when I first heard about BYU, we call it Backyard University. Right. So, it was really like, when I first came out here, because I came out here with my AAU coach.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I know you ain't got nothing to do. I know you're not having practice right now. So, just come out to Utah with me. And I was like, all right, cool. I was working a camp, a little basketball camp. And I was like, yo, I like this.
Yeah.
I like the feeling I get.
Yeah.
I was getting that same homey feeling.
Yeah.
And then I got out here, and it wasn't so homey the first year I was out here.
Really?
But the transition's been pretty crazy.
That's cool, man.
Pretty good.
So, yeah, AAU coach get you out here. And how do things work out for wanting to then attend BYU? What made you want to come out here and try to play ball?
Honestly, I was like, this ain't SEC, so it wouldn't be a big issue coming to try to play ball.
Yeah.
But I knew it was like certain standards that had to be upheld.
Yeah.
And like it was very vaguely explained to me.
Yeah.
The rules and regulations.
Yeah, yeah.
The honor code.
Yeah, yeah. So when I first got out here, I was getting looked at because like I got dreadlocks.
Yeah.
Pretty tall, so it's like, oh yeah, we know where you out here for sure. And I'm like, wait,
football, basketball, track, which one?
Exactly, bro. And it don't help that I'm a little bit fast, and they be like, oh yeah, we can see you playing any sport for sure.
Yeah,
I'm like, well, I don't want to be the guy known for like just playing sports. I want to be known for like, you know, making a difference in the world.
Yeah,
like, and that's really what I've been trying to stand for. Especially like this past little 8 months that like I really been skyrocketing. So yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about when we first heard of you. So not a lot of people know this, how we all got connected. Cause this is a long time coming. We've been trying to get you in this seat. You just missed a busy. No, it's been on our part, but it's our fault. No, but we've been trying to get connected with you, to get you in here just to kind of talk and hear about your story and everything. But, we first saw you on Brother Wilcox's Instagram. He had his arm around you, and he was talking about, man, welcome, my brother. This is Tyreek. He just joined the church. He just got baptized. And we were like, oh, we got to hit this dude up. We got to see what's up about him. Yeah. We hear about his story and what got him here and how'd he get connected with Brother Wilcox. How'd that happen? How'd y'all get connected?
Man, it was a crazy story. So it was just randomly. Yeah. So I didn't even know, honestly, I got a good feeling you're going to watch this. So Brad, like, look, we're great friends now. But at first, I did not know who you was. I didn't know, like he had came to my apartment and left like his book, and he wrote a heartfelt message in it.
Really?
And like, yeah, you might don't know this, but I carry that book around with me all the time.
Wow.
So he drops it off. I'm not there. Uh-huh. And so my roommates are like, yo, Todd, like Brad dropped off a book. I was like, who?
Who's Brad?
Yeah, I was like, who's Brad? And I look at the book, I'm turning it, I'm like, ain't no picture. I'm like, who's this guy? I look him up. I'm like, oh. So then I send him an IG, and I end up talking to the missionaries, and like I was like, did y'all know about this? They was like, no, we didn't know. Like, so how he found out about me?
Yeah.
So come to find out, it was through a series of people that he came to like find out. First off, then he asked the missionaries where I lived at, and I was like, I'm from a different part of the United States. You just don't give out information like
right,
that.
Right.
So I ended up hitting him up. He hit me back, and yeah. We just became good friends. Like, I hit him up.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm a little lost about some things, and he gives me great advice, and I don't know what I do for you, brother, but I'm so glad to have you in my life, man.
That's awesome, man. That's cool. And that sparked a lot of social media attention, right?
Man.
Like we just wrote a little comments in there just hoping, hey, man, who is this brother? Someone tag him, get us connected. But I just seen all these comments. People are just like, congrats, welcome. We're so happy you decided to take this step. Like, man, it seems like ever since that day, it's just you're like a local celebrity, it seems like, right?
Right. It was crazy because, like, literally, it was the summer semester.
Yeah.
And as soon as he posted, I didn't know he posted it. This is the crazy thing about it. Somebody, like a group of people, I was walking to his class because I was in his class also.
Yeah.
So I was walking to his class. Group of people stopped me. They was like, yo, you're Ty. And I was like,
who?
I'm looking at him. I'm like, do I know y'all? But I kept it, cordial. And I was like, yeah. I was like, how y'all doing? And they was like, You friends with Brad Wilcox? I was like, how you know that? Like, and then they was like, we saw you on IG. I was like, what you mean? They showed me the post. I was like, oh, he posted me. And like then I saw y'all come in, and I saw brothers, and I was like, oh yeah, let me hit them up. Let me hit them up.
That's all you need to know, bro.
Yeah, literally, I saw brothers with a Z. I was like, yeah, let me hit them up right quick.
Not brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, if it was brothers with the ER, I would be like, I'll wait a little bit. When I saw brothers in the foyer, I looked at y'all page, saw what y'all was standing for. I was like, that'd be awesome to get to know them.
Yeah. You definitely in the foyer, bro. I feel like when we first met you, it was just like, I felt like we just connected, it was just like kindred spirits,
Thanks.
Oh man, that's cool. So a little bit back up. Because I know people kind of want to know who you are and just your background a little bit. Are you just the only boy, only son? Or are you?
Oh,
you got
no.
Siblings? You got 12 of them? How's your family? You got a mom, dad, obviously. So just tell us that little dynamic. How's that?
Yeah, my Duke's only got 4 kids, 2 older sisters, and I got a younger brother.
Okay, so you're the middle child.
Yeah, I'm the younger middle child. I had to do stuff to stick out. So, like, I was playing sports growing up, played a lot of sports. But we had made this deal because my dad, he's big on, like, responsibilities and stuff.
Yeah.
He was always, job this, job that. But it kind of dialed down as soon as I hit, like, the high school and he found out, like, the level that I was – like playing it. Cause funny thing, like I loved football and I loved soccer growing up.
Soccer, really?
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's the one sport I never got to play and I always wanted to.
Bruh. Yeah, people don't know that. So it's like, so then like I come to high school, real good at soccer, real good at football. But my mom always told me, she was like, I just knew that out of all the sports, basketball was your sport. And I was like, dang, I thought I was pretty terrible at it. I was like, I was just making it through.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, like, playing all them sports except for, like, swimming.
Mm-hmm.
I was a stereotype. I was one of them people that couldn't swim.
You can't swim?
I can swim now.
Okay, I was about to say, brother, we got to get you. We gotta get
I learned this summer.
You learned this summer how to swim?
Yeah, I learned how to swim like 2 days.
Better late than never. Better late than never, man. Grab water. That's all you got to do, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's crazy. I learned how to swim in 2 days, and then, like, the next weekend coming up, they took me to the lake, and I was like, wait.
Hold on. Wait, where's my floaty, man?
Like, give me the life vest right quick. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's wild. Yeah, that's a stereotype right there.
Yeah, this brother's good at sports, but he just can't swim.
Really? Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious. All right.
That's funny.
So you're the middle child. You got your mom, your dad, your brothers and sisters. How do they feel about you being out here in Utah?
So when I first broke the news, I told mama first, because I knew, like, she'll probably take it hardest, but she'll also understand.
Yeah,
she did not understand at first. Yeah, so, like, after me spending like 3 weeks out here, I called her. I was like, how would you feel if I transferred from Ole Miss and come up here to Utah? She was like, oh, with the Mormons? And I was like, you ain't got to say it like that. But yeah. She's like, you think you can handle that? And I'm like, everybody don't know that. My mom was very against me coming out here.
Really?
But then, like, the first year I was out here didn't help at all. Cause, like, I was telling her, I was confiding in her, and she was like, see, that's why you should just come home. And I'm like, yeah, but I can get in trouble when I come home.
Yeah.
So, like, Utah kept me straight, because all you can do is focus on what you need to focus on out here. Right, no distractions.
Right.
Whereas to, like I tell people, the biggest difference between Ole Miss and BYU is Ole Miss, I was partying it up. I can't even lie about it. Yeah. I was that guy that's like, yo, he had another party. Let's go.
Yeah.
But then I came to my first BYU party, and I was like, oh.
Everybody's sober.
Yeah. I was like, where's the pulpit punch? And like, no, but everybody was really against it, but everybody's really on board now. They like, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. They accepted it.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's dope. What was your, as far as like the transition, what was your first impression of the LDS church?
Pretty much what everybody be saying, like, yeah, they super nice. Yeah. But me, I'm like, no, I'm like, they nice and all, but you can tell when they upset.
Yeah.
So crazy thing about it, like, some missionaries tried approaching me like my first year here. And like the friend group that I had when I first got here, they would set up like missionary meetings without me knowing. And I'm like, wait, y'all supposed to be my friends, like, regardless.
Yeah. Scheming.
Yeah, exactly. I come in and it's just like, it's like an AA. It's like one of them you trying to get your drunk friend back sober now.
What do they call those?
Like intervention.
Intervention.
Yeah. I'm like, wait.
Spiritual intervention.
I come see the two missionaries. They're like, wait, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, come down. Sit down. Let's talk. Nah, I closed the door and I walked out. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. I wasn't prepared for that.
You never spoke to them that first time? You're just like, nah, I don't even want to entertain it or nothing.
Yeah, because it's like, I come from a Baptist heavy household. Like, Pop's a big leader.
Yeah.
And they're like, he just finished up his third book. Shout out to you, Pops. Hey. But I knew how he'll fit, so I was like, I'm only here for schooling and for sports, so like I'm chilling.
Yeah.
So yeah, I stayed away from him for a little bit. Then this past summer, like, didn't nobody know I was converting until like 2 days before my baptism.
I was going to say, what changed? What was the change, man?
Bruh, because I made some friends that accepted me for who I am, regardless of me being LDS or not.
Wow.
And that really touched me. And, like, they was the first ones that, like, all right, they didn't force nothing. It was all because of my will.
Right. Yeah. Right.
First off, I like museums.
Yeah.
Most people don't know that, you know. I do a little museum dates, you know. So, yeah. So, I told them, I was like, they was like, you want to go to this museum down in Salt Lake? I was like, what is it about? And they was like, it's LDS museum. You don't have to go. I was like, no, I'm down. I'm actually down. We watched a little Joseph Smith video in the beginning. I was touched deeply.
What video was it? Was it like
it was the first vision?
Yeah, that
first vision.
Man. Wow,
yeah, that hit home for me.
Even as a man, as a member, that hit home. That was, yeah. I mean, that the way they have it set up and man,
like whoever doing the production of the church, hey, Keith, you doing a great job. Yeah, so I watch it. Like, tear fall down my cheek, and like, I'm touched. And they don't know that I'm touched by this video. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm still chilling. So I wipe my eyes real fast before the video end. Yeah, I'm like,
try to play it off.
Dang, dog.
These allergies.
Yeah, like stop running. But yeah, so like, I'm joyful that rest of that day. Mm. And like, the next day, I hit my best friend up, like, yo, let me meet with the missionaries. Wow. He was like, you sure? I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
So I meet up with them. Shout out Elder Lawler and Elder Hershey. Love you guys. Y'all still was 5 minutes late to the first first
come on,
lesson.
Elders, man. Nah.
Come on, early, you're late, man.
Yeah, we joke about that to this day, but like they the best missionaries in my opinion. Like,
are they still serving right now?
Yeah, they still serving right now.
Wow.
I know Elder Lawler still in the Provo area, still on BYU campus. And Elder Hershey, I think he moved to like the Orem zone.
Cool, man.
Okay. So Baptist background, I also grew up Baptist as well. What was it that resonated, you know, with you from the Baptist comparing it to like LDS? What was the... Were there any similarities or?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of similarities. It's crazy you talk about this because I literally had a conversation with my pops about it.
Yeah.
And I broke down to him everything and I shared the differences, but I also shared the similarities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, to his surprise, it's not really that different, but it is like differences.
Yeah.
So I will say, but like the doctrine, still the same.
Yeah.
Even though, like, we're using another testament.
Yeah.
So that's how I explained it to him. I explained it to my friends like that, and they didn't see it like that. Mm. I see it like Old Testament, New Testament, Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Those three combined makes up the full journey.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, you need everything. So
right.
I was explaining it to him. Like, even though... Like Baptists, we only have communion like fifth Sunday.
Right.
Or like the last Sunday of the month.
Right.
Like it's pretty much the same, other than I can't clap. Can we talk about that?
Swaying and
Yeah. I have to go to the like the non-denominational church that, you know, like the singing and stuff. Cause like my first time going to like, cause I needed a space to like let myself, cause like sitting in the sacrament service. Like,
yeah.
Very reverent.
Yeah, everybody asks me.
Warmed up to it, man.
Yeah, it's
an adjustment.
Everybody asks me, like, why are you singing the hymns? It's like, because if I get to singing, I get to moving around.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was like, I don't want to be a distraction for you.
I'm waiting for the drums, the guitar.
Exactly.
Bro. The Lord of Sand.
So me and my friends, we go to this church, and they like, you down? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, of course. We go. They see how I get to really act.
Yeah.
And they was like, yo, he was really enjoying himself. I was like, that's because I could be free.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, it's some good structure in the church. So
yeah. We gotta get you out to the Genesis Ward, man.
Yeah. Oh, bro. I saw the services. I would love that, brother.
You're missing out, man. You gotta get you there. You'd love it. Connect with some good people. And we just had our episode dropped last week. You guys should check that out. The Genesis group. We talk about the backstory, how that came to be, and just who it's for and why you guys should be able to attend. It's a good thing, man. You should definitely check it out.
Especially the choir, man. The Bonner Family Choir. Yes,
bro.
Bro, take you back home, man.
Man.
Childhood
memories,
bro. Telling you. You would never know.
That's crazy.
Man, that's good stuff, man. So you first watched the video and that touched you. Obviously, it wasn't just the person who created the video, but there was something else deeper than that. Like,
facts.
It's the spirit, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And so was that your first time like having an interaction with the spirit? Or do you feel like, did you even know what it was, what you were feeling?
Like, I knew exactly because I mean, like, as I'm praising, especially like during services on Sundays for the Baptist.
Yeah.
Like, I'm praising and, bruh, like, it was a more intense feeling than I get. Cause like growing up, people don't know, I played the drums for my Baptist church.
Hey,
I played the drums.
Yeah, bro. Like, it was like, we got to get this guy involved somehow. And like, my dad was the videographer and, and he was also like the deacon, one of the head honchos.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it was more like that. So I got my praise out of playing the drums and like, even if I'm not playing the drums, I'm like, this is very intense. But like, as I was feeling it, bruh, it hit me so deeply. Like, I didn't even feel the first tear. Like, I realized I was crying towards the end of the video. I ain't realized how long I've been crying.
Yeah.
Like, luckily it was dropping on the right side, so my friend couldn't see. Everyone's on the right side. Yeah, yeah, it was on the right side. I was like, yeah.
And it's so dark in there, bro.
You know, I got the built-in camouflage, so they really couldn't see me like that.
Yeah, bro. No turning rosy red or nothing like that.
Bruh.
Oh, man. So, like, that's awesome, man. That was, like, the catalyst to get you to make those steps forward, and you acted on it. Most people just ignore that for months. They're like, oh, I don't know what that was, and they just shake it off. But you actually acted on that. You said the next day, or is it just like you just a few days later, a week?
It was the next day. I was like, yeah, let me meet those missionaries, man.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
Man. So you went in and you had the lesson with the missionaries, right?
Right.
You already kind of knew a little bit about Joseph Smith and the first vision from that video. What was it that kind of made that conviction or those steps that made you take that next step to say, all right, I want to get baptized? How was that whole situation with the missionaries and learning the lessons and all that?
This is going to be like the first time I actually share this, though, honestly.
Exclusive.
So, yeah. So, my friends all know that I'm a visual learner, so I don't really do much reading.
Yeah.
If I do reading, I got to, like, have something to click.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I read 3 Nephi chapter 11, verse 7. Mm. And as I was reading it, bro, I felt that same feeling. Mm. I was feeling like in the LDS museum, and I was like, yeah. Then I watched the video and I get the feeling. I'm like, yeah, this is the right direction.
Yeah.
Then leading up to the baptism day, like the day of, my Dukes had called me at like 3 a.m. Keep in mind, yeah, she's back. She was in Chicago. She had called me. We was on the phone for like 3 more hours.
Mm-hmm.
Shed some tears, man. It was a
rough telling about what you wanted to do.
Yeah, because really, she didn't find out until the day of. Yeah, and then she hit me with after the whole spiel and the good conversation we had. She's like, so when are you going to tell your dad? And I'm like, like, do I have to? Like, and she was like, yeah. She was like, yeah. But then she ended up telling him regardless. And I know, because he texted me like after I got baptized. Mm-hmm. He's like, we got to talk. And I was like, oh. So like, I spent time like prepping myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing it the whole time. I wasn't doing it like just for me, but it was also to show like my dad, like, hey, this really means a lot to me.
Yeah.
And if I could have your support, then yeah. So after I broke down everything to him, made the comparisons, showed the differences, He said, I respect you, son. And he got my full support based off. He was like, you impressed me just off of the knowledge that you gained in a short period of time.
Wow.
And, bruh, like, I never seen him cry. We was on FaceTime while we was doing this. I never seen that man cry a day in my life. Wow. But I saw him shed tears that day. And, like, that alone showed me, like, it was Heavenly Father, like, Ty, you're heading in the right direction.
Yeah. Man, I got chills, man.
For real. Hey, bro. Like, you better make me cry.
I'm trying not to cry right now because it hit me hard.
Yeah. Bro. For that, I mean, there's so many people out there who are wanting to join the church and they can't because either their parents won't let them or they get shunned. Literally, they get shut out.
Mm.
But that speaks volumes about your father, man, for him to be willing to accept you still and to be impressed that you actually learn more about the gospel and you understand the scriptures in a more in depth. I mean, I think just from obviously his background, he's probably like, my son actually is learning, he's reading the scriptures. You know, he's understanding them. He's expounding them. That's, I don't know, man. That's just, that's just so cool, man. Most families and stories I hear about people converting, it's a big pushback and it's really hard for them to even stay in, you know, and for your family to support you despite maybe not being fully okay with it or whatever, but still supporting you and loving you despite that's amazing, man. Shout out to your parents, man.
Yeah, we're going to church when I get there.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Okay. They was like, it's like, do you mind if we come to a service with you? I was like, for real? And my dad was like, yeah. And I was like, it's a second hour if you want to like learn about the teaching. And he was like, he's like, I would love that. And I was like, oh,
that's awesome, man. Dude, planting seeds, man, that's cool.
Hey, man.
And that's the beauty of it about the gospel is that we're not trying to take away the truths that people have already learned. We're just adding on to it. You know, it's just another testament. It's another thing that's testifying to Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, I think that's the biggest thing is like, I felt like I couldn't learn more about the gospel if I didn't have this gospel. You know, it just expands a lot of those things that are the world is trying to figure out for the last century, you know, questions of the soul, stuff that's super simple to us. That's primary answers, but it's stuff people have been looking for their whole life, you know? And so that's amazing, bro.
Man. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That is amazing. Especially coming from the Black community, you know, it's really hard. Like, those big decisions where you got to talk to your mom, your pops, man, it's hard. And especially trying to get their support on it. And, like Andrew was saying, the transition, man, like coming from the Baptist church to where we are now, like it was easy for me to be like, okay, like this makes sense. Like I'm understanding Jesus Christ on a deeper level.
Right.
I'm understanding Heavenly Father's plan on a deeper level. And so it just adds to it, you know, and makes it a little bit more clear instead of a little blurry. So.
Definitely. There's a point I wanted to hit on that I forgot about. You said the reason why it kind of helped in your conversion is because people stopped putting it in your face.
Yeah.
They weren't trying to pressure you. They were just being friends and being genuine, right?
Exactly.
How do you think that can help other people? I mean, what would you say for those who are friends with someone who's not a member? What do you think is, what would you want to tell them that's like, hey, this is what you should do for someone who's not a part of the church, but you want them to? What is the best way they should approach them?
You just, you know, you just let go and let God at that point. Because it's like, for me, I show interest when people stop putting it in my face and I learned about it on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I say just making them comfortable, not in hopes that they convert, but in hopes that, you know, Heavenly Father just open their eyes.
And
all you gotta do is be a good friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be a good friend just because you want them to join the church. Be a good friend because you like them as a person.
Because I find, don't have an agenda.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I find it better if you just don't. Like, don't pressure the person. You don't push religion on anybody.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I've been big on that my whole life. Like, don't push religion on them. Be friends with a person because of who they are. And I believe that's why I got so many friends. Like, I tell people all the time, like, I don't care if you're not a part of the church or you are. Yeah. If you're a good person, I'm still going to hang out with you.
Right.
You
know? Right.
I'm
right.
still going to kick it with you.
I think that's how it should be. You know, we should be, just because your neighbor is not a member of the church or left the church or whatever, doesn't mean you shouldn't let your kids still interact with them. Fact. Doesn't mean you shouldn't still be a good neighbor to them just because they believe differently or they sin differently than you. You need to be Christ-like. And I think that's what happens in all the way in the end, you know. There's a story about Joseph Smith where this lady, he gave service to this lady. They're cleaning up something for her. And she's like, I will not join your religion, but I do thank you for your service. He's like, service is our religion, man. And, you know, and so it's just like, if anything, if you're not trying to convert someone, just be a good person. Just be a good person and let your example show. You know, and I think that does all the rest for you. The Lord does the rest. Spirit moves and reaches the person when they're ready for it and ready to receive it. So that's cool, man.
Yeah.
It's so important, man. It's so important to be Christ-like, and because that's what Jesus Christ did when he was on earth. He hung out with everybody. He was with the sinners, the saints. He was with everybody, regardless of their background or who they were. I think that's something that most of the members here struggle with, you know, but hey, we all trying to improve. But as far as like your faith, how has that been deepened? And since joining the church, how have you maintained that or strengthened that?
So all in all, I do keep all the covenants and commandments, but it's like, I'm not going about it as a happy-go-lucky.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm me 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's no, okay, let me be this tie for this amount of time because I'm around the people of the church.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm tied. Like, my hair is still going to be down. Like, yeah. I'm still going to be walking the same, interacting with people the same. Mm-hmm. I'm just authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In every way. And I feel like that helps out a lot, just being comfortable enough to be your own self.
Yeah.
I feel like that helped me out so much. And, like, of course, my friends out there, like, they made me comfortable enough to, like, for me to be myself.
That's important, man. That's important. That's important, bro.
I feel like it's very easy for us to become, like, chameleons when you stand out. You know, we're in Utah. We stand out, so we want to kind of conform to what's normal so you don't bring more attention to yourselves. But I mean, we just gonna bring attention to ourselves regardless, just because of who we are, what we look like, you know, out here. But you being able to feel comfortable and your friends providing a space for you to be able to do that and to accept you for who you are, that speaks volumes, man. Shout out to those people.
For real.
Be more like that. Do real that. Ones, that man. Is important.
Yeah.
Accept people for who they are and the Lord will take care of the rest, you know.
That's simple, man.
Yeah. That's awesome, bro. So your friends were shocked a little bit maybe, or they were surprised when you joined the church or when they heard about you wanting to take those steps forward. How's the support been since you've joined the church?
The support was crazy, like leading up to it. And then for like 2 weeks, well, like a little month afterwards, it was still crazy. But then I felt a little differently because of the, you know, member high. So like at my baptism, it was a lot of people. I wasn't expecting that many people to show up. Yeah. But that showed up, and like out of all of those people that showed up, to this day it's only like a handful that I still communicate with, that I still talk to. And I was looking at the aspect of it, like, I see why people join and leave though. Because it's like, okay, we're happy for you to be here. Then like 2 months after, it's like, okay, you good. We'll see you when we see you. Like it was like a dagger in the face kind of.
Yeah.
And like it was a little sore spot, but then that's what also made me comfortable with just being myself. I was like, if they just going to drop you after that, might as well be yourself regardless. So after I started, you know, getting comfortable, like people start showing up.
Yeah.
The good people.
Yeah.
That's a big significant thing. I mean, that you pointed out there is that we get so hyped around helping people wanting to join the church, but we're not there to kind of help them stay in the church, you know?
Yeah.
And so what do you think is something that for members of the church, what they should do for those who are just joining the church? What is something that you think would help them? Or what would you want to tell them?
Honestly, like if you know you're not going to be friends with the person outside of the church, it's best to just say congratulations and keep pushing. Don't say congratulations and try to spark a whole little spiel about it. Like, just keep it real.
Yeah.
Like, I knew who wasn't going to, like, be there after the baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people that I just shook hands with and moved on.
Yeah.
But for me, my missionaries that taught me, they kept in touch, brought me along to the lessons. And, hey, honestly, without those two, because they are, like, the perfect examples, almost perfect because I was late, but, like, the perfect example of what a missionary should be. Because even after I got baptized, mm-hmm. they would still hit me up, make sure I was good, you know. We'll still talk and have the lessons, and mm-hmm. they just made it a whole wholesome environment for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good, man.
I love that. I think as members, some members don't know that, you know, there's a transition when you come into the church, especially coming from a Baptist background or even coming from a different state,
hey.
You know? And so there's a transition. And I think the members, they need to understand that, like, as you're transitioning, as you're changing, as you're growing, you need that support to rely on, you know, as you build your foundation, your testimony. And so I'm glad we've been able to connect with you because, it keeps us on our toes, you know, and helps us to realize, like, okay, like, our brother Ty, he needs some help. He needs some support right now, you know, as you transition. And so I think it's so important, you know, to have that support during this time period because you need to continue to grow, you know. We can't have you stalling out or stopping, you know, because there's so much stuff to embrace, and it can be overwhelming. It can be discouraging at times, but you got to keep going. So,
yeah, I think that's the biggest thing about with when you join the church, we're always going to have that high, you know, that, oh man, I feel the Spirit. This was such great. This is such just a huge experience for me. But you got to think about what you're going to be like a year from now, 5 years from now. What's going to keep that in the forefront of my mind of why I'm here? Why am I staying? Because we're going to have, you're going to deal with people who are going to say something that's going to offend you. You're going to have people that are going to treat you wrong, if not already.
It's crazy. It's crazy you say that, bro, because it's like, all right, this is kind of another exclusive right here. So I've been struggling with, because the common question I've been getting so far
mm-hmm.
is, are you going to serve a mission?
Mm.
And I'm like, I would love to. Honestly, I would love to. But it's one variable that's playing.
What's that?
It's my hair. It's like I got an emotional attachment to it because, like, this is one of the things that I had to fight with my father about.
Mm.
And, like, even though I only had it for 3.5 years, it's, like, still it's got me through some tough times. And it's, yeah. like, I just can't cut it off. Like,
yeah.
if there's a way around it, like, I would love to. And, like, they'll say, you know, you make sacrifices. Yes, I understand. I've been praying. You know, I haven't gotten an answer yet. But, like, a point that I always bring up is, like, the story of Samson.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Like, come on. The brother had long hair. He was strong, doing the work of the Lord. Like, come on now. And it's like I've been telling, like, my friends.
Mm.
It's like, if I don't serve a mission, I can still do everything the Lord wants me to do. Just being me, like I'm really a missionary right now.
Yeah, you're just doing some stuff right now. Yeah,
just sure. on my own terms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm making people feel comfortable. You know, making them learn more about Christ. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a huge stereotype. That was something I struggled with because I had a beard and.
Yeah.
And sometimes in high school, I would grow it out to a fro and get cornrows and stuff like that. And, you know, members be like, do you have the priesthood? You know, or like, do you, you know, so, but, man, I think people just have to get used to us. You know, they got to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I love your attitude about not changing, because really, Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, they want us to change our hearts. You know, they're not telling us to, you know, shave our head or look a certain way, mm-hmm. you know, but I think we get caught up in that, you know, into like, you know, oh, you have to have a shaved face, you know, like that's showing you're worthy. It's like, no, like.
I believe everybody about 2000 years ago had a beard.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like that's been one of the points of like me making friends and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I've been able to tell who's really a friend and who's not. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I had one friend who was like, hey, Ty, it's just hair. And I'm like, it's not just hair to me. Like, yeah. And, like, he was talking closed-minded. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I can't really be friends with you. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of distancing myself away from it. He probably going to watch this, so.
Oh, man, we ain't trying to start drama up on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, nah.
It's all love, bro.
Yeah, it's all love. It's just, I can't be friends with somebody that's really closed-minded. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty hard out here in Utah. So finding like open-minded bubble, people. Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, hey, I'd say for anybody who wants to serve a mission, it's one of the greatest things I've ever done. It was the biggest blessing for me. Everything I have in my life, everything that I've ever accomplished, all the things that I've been able to obtain, the things I've learned was because of my mission.
Yeah.
You can make your choice of where you want to go and where you want to do, choosing the mission or not. But I'll just say for my life, it was probably the best thing I've ever done. It actually set the tone for the rest of my life. You know, it was a big blessing. And, yeah, man, I've never had dreads in my life. I actually thought about it, especially during like the hyphy movement with,
oh, bro,
went on growing some. No, but I thought about it at one time. And so I don't have a connection with it as like how you do, but, I feel you. It's probably really hard.
I'm gonna tell you why I got a deep connection with it. So, like growing up, I was the kid with the shaved head.
Everyone, you know, smacking your head
with the clean. Yeah, that's. I had to start defending myself because people just come and just Mr. Clean. But so yeah, when I finally got the chance to grow my hair out, I took it as a fro first, and then, like, honestly, my dreads happened on accident. Cause I had got 2-strand twists, and I was washing my hair constantly, and like they just start like attaching on their own, and I was like, oh, well, I got dreads now, so cool. I guess I'm gonna keep this going.
Yeah.
So yeah, and plus my pops cut my hair, so it's like, as long as you under my roof, you finna get whatever haircut I feel like.
Yeah.
And for him to let me just grow my hair out. Cause at first, when I first had the dreads, he was like, you sure you don't want to cut them off? Like every haircut, he's just like, sure. Like, what if I accidentally just, you know? I'm like, come on, please don't. Yeah, I think that's where that emotional attachment came from. Cause that was like me and his bonding time. When he cut my hair, we just talk about school, talk about life, and we'll talk about my future. And he was one of those people that just. He kept me on the straight and narrow path, honestly.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely some deep connection there. Man, so you had this opportunity now being in the church. What's it been, 9 months?
Since I joined the church, it's only been 4 months.
4 months? Oh, man.
Four months?
Like, that's what I'm
like
saying.
Time's been longer than that.
Bro, it's like when people meet me, they either think I'm not a part of the church or I've been a member longer than I have. Then when they find out that I'm a recent convert, they're like, dang, that's crazy. I'm impressed. Right. And I'm like, don't be impressed with me. Just be impressed with what the Lord can do. Like,
yeah, right. And I think it also helped for your father having a background in the gospel as well. So that kind of gave you a great foundation to build upon.
Oh, yeah, facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Pops for all them long nights that he made me just study.
Was that like actually, did that make it easier for your conversion and being able to have a background, like a Christian background of the scriptures in the Bible? Or was it like a combat where you're like, well, this is what I've been taught, and then you guys are saying this? Or was it kind of, did it just kind of gel together and make sense?
No, it all it all correlated together because, like, as I was getting taught and I was listening to the stories, I was like, that sounds very familiar. Mm-hmm. And I go back in the Bible and just look at it. I'm like, yo, these stories are very similar. And I was like, it's just different people. But I was like, it's a different time period. Mm-hmm. So the Lord's still working in different time periods. So I'm like, this ain't really different. Too much different.
Yeah.
Like the doctrine. And that's why, like, people say, like, the church is true, but I stand on, like, the doctrine is true.
Yeah.
Like, bro.
The church got a lot of imperfect people.
Yeah. If you're
saying that the church is true,
mm-hmm.
then you're saying that everybody who is in it is perfect and does not make mistakes, but the doctrine is incorruptible. It's true.
It's pure, yeah.
Pure.
Yeah.
There ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it.
You know exactly.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
So you've been a member of the church now for 4 months. There's other people that are going to be joining the church as well. Probably potentially it could help because of this video. Who knows what seeds you're dropping just because of you speaking. What would you want to tell those other, even young black men or even those just other people who are discovering about the church? What would you want to tell them about it, about taking lessons with the missionaries or meeting people who are members of the church? What would you want to?
Do what makes you feel comfortable, and if you know you get a sign, please go with it. Don't hesitate about it, because mm-hmm. like the Lord can show you a couple signs in ways that you've never seen before. Just being open minded, that will help out so much.
Yeah,
like, and being open minded will also help you being comfortable, especially with people that might not like the decisions you make.
Mm-hmm.
So just be true to you. The Lord can work with that.
Yeah. That's a good point, man. I think so many of us, even if you are a member of the church all your life, mm-hmm. it's very easy to be closed-minded, you know, even just to learning about the gospel you've been raised up in, you know, understanding, and even people who are outside of our church, being able to be understanding, have open mind to hearing them out and understanding what their needs are and just helping them learn more about us and vice versa. So, yeah, I love that, man. What do you think it would be? How can the church better support people like yourself? What do you feel like? Is there anything you think that could be for in the wards? What would you want to let those bishops or those leaders in the church or just regular members know how they can better support people who are just joining the church?
Be a true friend. Like, don't be one of those friends like, oh, he's coming to church, so I'm being friends with him. I'm going to be friends with him just off of that. Like, no, get to actually know the person. Like, that's why I like the first ward that I was in, but I like the ward that I'm in, the YSA, much more now that I'm in. Because the first one, it was like, yeah, they was friends with me, but they was only friends with me because I'm a recent convert. But these friends that I got now in my new ward, it's like, every time they see me, they're like, yo, Ty, we can say nothing about the Book of Mormon, or like, we don't have to say nothing about Jesus. We just talk regular and just chill. And like that made it so much comfortable. Just surround the new members with some good friends and watch how they grow within themselves and within the church.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mal.
I love that. Cause there is a transition, man. There is a transition. I think, like, not only do you have, like, you're coming into this new church and you're learning new things, but you also have black culture, which there's not a lot of that out here, you know? And so it makes it harder to make that transition. So if people could open their eyes and, man, just be themselves, act normal, you know, like, yeah.
That's all it is. Just be yourself. That's all it is. So that's simple, right?
And yeah.
It's usually pretty simple. We just make it complex, you know, every single time.
Being yourself will make life much more easier, man.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Just before we end, is there anything that you would want to let our viewers know?
I will say one thing that I noticed that I do a little differently is I do read the Book of Mormon, but it's like a 70-30 split. Like 70% of the Bible, 30% of the Book of Mormon. And I do that because even though it's another testament, we kind of treat it like it's, at times we treat it like it's the only book out there. Mm-hmm. So it was my turn to teach Elders Quorum. And like, I was like, I'm not finna use the Book of Mormon and I'm finna see how this class reacts. Mm-hmm. And I didn't use the Book of Mormon. And everybody was saying, that's the best class that they had so far. That's the, they want me to teach again. And I was, all I taught was about Saul's conversion. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And I related it to their, like, their mission and mm-hmm. like about the new members. Yeah, bro. It's just like, I feel like it hits harder when you can do things to make people feel comfortable. And I feel like using the Bible and even if it's a 50-50 split, like using the Bible and the Book of Mormon, it really grabs people's attention.
Right.
Yeah.
Mouth of two witnesses, man. Every word is established. That's how we can testify of Christ, man. It's just another testament to help back up the Bible. It's not there to replace it. It's there to build upon the foundation of the gospel, you know?
Yeah, so
that,
exactly.
I love that. That's a good point. I feel like, low-key, I feel like a lot of members of the church don't really know the Bible as much as they should.
No, that's true. That's true.
Because I feel like your understanding of the gospel would deepen if you were more in the New Testament and Old Testament.
Exactly.
And so I think that needs to be a big charge for a lot of people, is to understand the Bible a lot more. Because it'll help connect of like, oh, that's how the stick of Joseph and the stick of Judah, how they work together and they come together in one hand and just fulfilling scriptures. A lot of things that just help add up after you, when you read them together and consistently. So I love that, man.
Yeah. It'd be cool, bro. Cause I had this one guy that I was like, he seems cool. He was an RM, of course. Yeah. And like, we went to go see the Heretic, mm-hmm. like me and a couple other people.
I was
that brother was shook out his boots. like his testimony, like they say certain things strengthen your testimony, but I feel like that made him think, bro. Cause like, my uncle had hit my phone up. He mm-hmm. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. He's like, Ty, I know you up. So he called me and he's like, that movie really shook that man. And I was like, that's just me. His faith in Christ wasn't really there. Like, if that movie can shake you like that, yeah. Have you up at 4 o'clock in the morning reading the Book of Mormon? I just told him, I was like, tell him to read the Bible too. Like,
yeah.
So he read the Bible. Now he's much better, but he keep wondering why I don't like hit him up to hang out and stuff. It's like, brother, you asked me to study with you. Like, you don't do that as a guy. You
know? What you nah, mean?
Nah. Like, bro,
that's weird.
Bro, asked me like how do you go when you go to the library? I was like, I'll be in the little study rooms, or I'll be just by myself. Yeah, we should study sometime. Like, what you mean by that? What you mean by that?
Study just. School study?
Man, look, he just said study. I don't know what he's talking about. Like, that's why I told him I just prefer to be on my own, bro. But now he getting the feeling that I don't like him. It's not that I don't like him. It's just your mind a little closed right now, brother. So.
Well, no. So, Ty, man, it's been a pleasure being able to talk with you. I feel like there's even more we need to talk about. We didn't even get to it in this episode, but we'll probably definitely have you on more to get some more perspectives and some experiences. I want to see where you're at a year from now. I'm excited to see your growth and see what you're doing and to just see what the gospel has done for your life, man, because it not only helps us, but it transforms us. You know, it turns us into a new creature. And that's the one thing I love about the gospel, that it helps us become better men, better fathers, better husbands every single day if we apply the principles of the gospel. So thank you, honestly, man, for being here.
Bro.
Thank you for coming up and sharing your testimony, sharing your story, how you got here, where you came from, where you're trying to go. Man, it's been great. And I think this episode is going to really help a lot of young men out there and just members alike as well, you know. If you watched our episode, you enjoyed this episode, please like, comment, and subscribe. Let us know your thoughts about the episode, some points that stood out to you. If you would like to support Brothers in the Foyer so we can keep this going and share our stories of faith and our testimony, please go to the links below in the comment section or in the description and donate to help us continue to share stories like this all across the world. Thank you so much for watching Brothers in the Foyer. See you on the next one.